You know the SPCA because you think shelters and adopting. But did you know the Nova Scotia SPCA is more than shelters? We say this a lot, but what do we mean by that? We mean our college, our veterinary hospitals, and our programs. Join us today while we talk about two of those programs, Pet Pantry and the PUP Pup Program. Welcome to another episode of the Nova Scotia SPCA podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Lyon. Today, we're sitting down with Heather Wooden, Chief of Animal Operations, to learn more about our programs, what they offer, why we have them, and more. Welcome back to the podcast, Heather.
Yeah, thank you for having me again.
We are so happy to have you here. You know, for listeners who might not have listened to your first podcast, can you tell us about Heather and Heather's role here at the SPCA?
Sure. So my name is Heather Wooden, and I've been with the SPCA for 15 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. Started working at the shelter in their administrative front end and originally volunteering, dealing with the cat care. So I've been through a lot of avenues of the SPCA and seen a lot of growth in the past 15 years.
That's amazing. So you started as a volunteer.
Yes. Yes.
So what drew you to volunteer at the SPCA?
Well, I was volunteering in PEI when I lived there. When I moved to Nova Scotia, I was just missing having that connection with animals in my life. And I specifically took a job that gave me a day off where I could come volunteer. So I worked my work schedule around volunteering.
Wow. And then you got hired.
Yes. Yes, I saw a need for the reception administrative. I saw how busy it was, how many people were calling and asking for help. And I got to speak to the public for 3 years to listen to what their needs were and what they were looking for from the SPCA.
That dovetails well into today's episode because, you know, we had you on here as Chief Animal Operations, but that background of that beginning at the SPCA, I didn't really know about. So that's great. So at the SPCA, we often talk about four programs. And so today's episode, we're going to talk about two programs, and that is the Pet Pantry, which I've seen a lot of growth across the country in SPCAs and humane societies offering pet pantries. And we are also going to be talking about the PUP program. And we're going to get into that a little bit because people might not know what PUP program is. So we will do that one next. But first, we're going to start with Pet Pantry. So can you explain to our listeners, what is the Pet Pantry?
Yeah, so we found that a lot of people were struggling financially and the barrier for them to keep their pets, you know, they may be calling to surrender to say they couldn't afford to care for their pets. And if we could just provide them with food to help them get back on their feet, they were able to get through a difficult time period and keep that family together, avoiding, you know, their pet needing to be rehomed or come into the shelter. So it's something we sort of did, you know, when donations came in, we would use that to share with people who were inquiring about supports available. But it's sort of a program we made a bit more official, and we wanted to tell the public that it was available to them to, you know, avoid them coming to, you know, the decision that maybe they need to surrender. So they knew there was alternative out there. So in 2020, we, you know, secured a grant to help us sort of launch this. We weren't sure how busy it could become when we actually said that we're here if you need food. It's something that we were running on donations solely. And we knew once we put that out there to the public that it's something that we did, that we may need to supplement that and purchase food actually to supply to people.
And so it is more than food that we have in there. So what are some of the items that we have on a that we get requested as well. Yeah.
The most requested, of course, is cat and dog food. That's the top requests, of course. But our pet pantry can contain anything that we may get donations of. You know, we've had supplies of critter food and we haven't had a need for them for a critter in our care. So it goes into the pet pantry. So we've had rabbit food, you know, fish food at times, mm-hmm. you know, you never know what we might have available to help people, you know, care for the animals and continue to care for their animals. And kitty litter, of course, is another highly requested item from our pet pantries.
We used to be in the office with Pet Pantry, and so sometimes I was able to help with the Pet Pantry, and it's a no judgment place. We want to keep families together, and you know, somebody would come in and we'll talk about the process, but you'd have their pet food. And what I loved is, because of donations, we always gave like a treat or a toy, and just how that really seemed to resonate with people who were coming to the pet pantry, that, you know, we did care. We weren't being judgy. Like, here's a toy and let's have some fun with your pet. You know, this is a important member of your family. So how do people access the pet pantry? And when, you know, thinking about that, where do they access the pet pantry?
We do ask that they call us, email us, or go online to our website ahead of time. That's just to ensure that we have what you need available before you show up, that we make sure we have the stock available. If not, we can rely on our sister shelters and our other shelters to see if they have what you need. So we do ask that you contact us ahead of time. But what's important is we're just asking for what you need and who you are. There is no eligibility requirements. We are not asking you any personal financial questions. So there is really no eligibility. The eligibility is, do you need help? Do mm-hmm. you need food? Do you need supplies? And do we have those supplies? That's the only question that we're really looking at when it comes to the pet pantry. Now, the pet pantry locations are housed at each one of our SPCA shelter locations across the province. So you would contact us. We would make sure we have what you need available. We would set that aside for you. And then you can pick that up at any one of our SPCA locations anytime during their hours of operation.
So interesting. It's six shelters across, but also pet pantry in a way. I don't want to say that there's a mobile pet pantry. I'm not putting that out there unless somebody wants to sponsor something. But we do more than people coming into the shelters. Can you talk a little bit more about how, like, our investigations team helps with the distribution of pet food to keep families together?
Yes, our investigations team always has pet pantry food in their vehicles stocked with them. They run into a lot of people. They speak to people that are struggling. You know, a lot of times the concerns are about people struggling to be able to care for their pets. So they always have pet pantry stock available to inform people that this program exists, and they can give it to them right there on the spot. And it helps, you know, develop that relationship so people can learn about this program and the variety of other programs at the SPCA that can lend support to them to keep pets and families together.
I think it's important too for listeners, you know, when we talk about pet pantry, the cost of food for humans is rising, and it's been the same with pet food, has it not?
Yeah, absolutely. We have seen the costs of pet foods, especially specialty foods, you know, on the rise for animals in our care. So we know many families are struggling to make those choices between what they need for themselves and what their pets need as well. It's important to note that we get a lot of donations for the pet pantry, but often we do need to supplement that with, you know, purchases as well. And we do need funding to help us support those initiatives. The pets in our care are fed a consistent diet, so we can't always make use with our own pets of the donations that come in. So we're very happy to be able to spread these donations to a family in need, to someone who desperately needs this care to help, you know, their pet be warm and fed.
have you seen, you know, we're talking about the cost of groceries and food and living, and have you seen an increase in demand, and what does that look like over the past couple of years since you started the program?
Yeah, initially it was pretty consistent with the amount of requests we were getting, that were usually very short-term requests from people. But we have seen now, you know, well, the financial situation is a lot more difficult for people. You know, over the past couple of years, we've seen an increase in demand for the pet food and all the supplies in the pet pantry. So, you know, as we're seeing, you know, the cost rise for the SPCA, we're also aware that, you know, people are experiencing and the effects of the cost increase as well. And that has resulted in increases in our pet pantry and many of our other programs as well.
What has been the feedback, you know, from staff who get to participate in the program by helping, from volunteers who get to participate? I know, you know, personally, when it was in our office, I enjoyed being able to talk to people and know that they were being helped and that they were keeping their families together. Mm-hmm. So what has the feedback been over time with this program?
Well, from the public especially, you know, there's been positive feedback. It's important, you know, we want the public to feel like they don't have to explain themselves or justify mm-hmm. themselves, because we do get a lot of people trying to explain how they got in this situation, and we don't need to know that information. We know these things happen, you know, and they are just as much of a loving and caring pet owner as many of the other pet owners we deal with. So, you know, people are often hardest on themselves when it yeah. comes to these situations. And we want to make sure that they know it's okay. And we're not asking those hard questions. And we want to make sure, you know, they have the support they need, because oftentimes when they're experiencing struggles in their lives, pets are the comfort. Pets are what gets you through. And, you know, the pet is extremely important, you know, when you're going through a difficult situation, whether it be financial or otherwise. So even just the kindness of giving food, you know, I mean, it means a lot to people, because it means they get to keep their companion and that support and the comfort that they have.
Yeah, pets just have a absolute important part of our lives. And we know that over 60% of Nova Scotians have at least one pet, and lots have multiples. And with the rising cost, we don't want anybody to feel that they have to choose.
Absolutely. And the staff appreciate it as well. I mean, you know, we want pets to stay with their families as much as possible. And if this is one thing we can do to, you know, keep pets in their homes, we want to support people to keep those pets. There are many animals that do need to enter our shelters and go through the traditional, you know, surrender and rehoming process. But there's many animals that we can support to stay in their homes through these sort of programs. So we see it as just one of those ways of ensuring that that animal continues to be in their loved home.
So what is the key to this program's, you know, continued, I don't want to say success, because we want people, we don't want the cost of inflation and the cost to be going up. So what is key for the Nova Scotia SPCA to continue offering this program?
Well, of course, donations and of monetary donations always, because we can purchase bulk and get more of a discount to get more of the particular supplies that are being requested or the specific diets that are being requested. But we do also get donations if your pet didn't like a bag of food or just didn't like the new flavor you bought or mm-hmm. that sort of thing. It does go to a pet in need. So continuing support from the public. And I know that's challenging as well, as many people are experiencing financial struggles. But anytime you have, you know, something to give, whether it is your time or whether it is a monetary or other donations, that is essential to keep this program stocked as the demand continues to increase.
And you can do that at any of our shelters or make a donation online to help the community, your fellow neighbors, keep their pets with them. I'm going to switch to another program now. and we were talking about what does PUP program, what does the PUP stand for? Because we talk a lot about it being accidental litters. And so online, if you're looking for more information about this, it is called accidental litters. But PUP, Preventing Unexpected Pregnancies Program. So can you explain what the PUP program is?
Sure. Yeah. First of all, we do like to refer to it as accidental litters, especially that's why it's on our website, because we want to be clear that this program is for cats as well as dogs. Mm-hmm. And the PUP program, you know, acronym seems to imply it's for dogs, and that's not just the case. It is also for cats. So in this program, it helps us stop the ongoing cycle of accidental breeding. If you would like to give us the kittens or the puppies from the litter, we will spay your female mom, dog, or cat at no charge. So there's no cost to participate in the program at all. And it is coordinated with your local SPCA shelter location. And the spay services are coordinated through our network of veterinary hospitals as well.
When did the Nova Scotia SPCA start the PUP program?
The program we initially launched in 2017. In the first year of the program, we had 561 kittens or puppies come in through the program. The majority of those, of course, were kittens.
And then what does the number look like? So that was 2017. So now it's been 9 years. What did the numbers look like in 2025?
Yeah, so the program has continued to grow, and I would say is just as busy as when we launched the program. We had 807 kittens come through the program last year and 189 puppies for a total of 996 babies come through this year.
Right. And so the PUP program is one of our top numbers when we talk about surrenders, because we do include that in our surrender numbers. So when people say, why are people surrendering? It's actually through this program, which is a good thing. I wanted to know the importance of having programs like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, as you mentioned, it is more than just shelters. A lot of the programs we do is because we looked at the reasons animals were coming into our care, and we said, what can we do to stop that from being a reason? How can we participate in some of those bigger picture challenges people are experiencing to avoid it coming to the point of them needing to surrender their pets? And there's a lot of reasons, and there's a lot of really big issues. But these programs are a few of the things we can really do to solve some of those reasons. You know, an intact animal has behavior challenges or can be disturbing to neighbors if you're living in an apartment and can cause some housing insecurity issues. So when we were receiving requests for surrendering of the kittens or puppies, we also want to make sure we've helped and solved that situation. It's not going to occur again in the next 3 to 6 months because we are not really going to get anywhere ahead of the situation if we didn't solve it by fixing the mom, dog, or cat. So it's, you know, there's been a bit of an increase in the program again in the last couple of years. That seems to be related to some financial struggles as well, as we see some veterinary care costs, getting mm-hmm. your pet fixed, you know, can become a challenge for some people as well. So it's important that we look at, you know, trying not to bring an animal into our care unless it absolutely has to, and all the preventable reasons we can find that helps pet families keep their pets in their home.
So when we think about just under 1,000 animals, and we have talked, it's February when we were recording this, we've talked about slow season and kitten season. Our majority of those animals is the PUP program. Like, when is it super, like, the high point of the PUP program?
Yes. The busiest part of the program matches our busiest season at the shelter. So it is really during those warm summer months. And you can think about it in terms of cats. You know, in the winter months, if your cat goes outdoors, they're not going too far. They don't really want to go outdoors. Mm-hmm. But once they go in the heat, and it is very seasonal, has to do with the seasons and the sun, when your cat goes in heat, and they're escaping in the spring or summer months to go out and, you know, get pregnant and then come back to you, you know, with a litter of kittens. So it is the same season as we see for all the other surrender requests that we receive. And it's solely on cats. Cats have a very seasonal breeding cycle. Dogs is a little bit more consistent year round.
Walk us through the journey of the PUP program. Somebody who needs to access the PUP program, how do they access it? What steps are taken, and how do we help mom and pups?
Sure. So the journey can begin at a couple of different points depending when the pet owner reaches out to us. The first contact usually is by giving us a call. You can also go on our website and fill out a form there. But typically it starts with giving us a call, and we'll ask you some questions. You know, is your pet currently pregnant? Have they already had kittens or puppies? And how old are those kittens or puppies? So if you are calling early on, we can let you know that the first step really begins at around 5 weeks of age. When the babies are 5 weeks of age, they come into the shelter to get their first vaccines to start protecting them against various diseases. And then they return to the shelter to stay at the shelter around 8 weeks of age. Now, there's some flexibility in that if the pet owner is struggling to provide care, if the puppies are, you know, causing difficulty in their home life or, you know, upset with their housing, you know, we rely on foster homes to come in and supplement that as well. And the important part to mention is that the mom cat or mom dog never leaves that pet owner's care. We arrange the appointment with our veterinary services for them to come in for their spay, and it is a same day procedure. So you don't have to bring your mom cat or dog in, and you don't have to be separate from your mom cat or dog for any period of time. You are caring for the puppies or kittens in your home, and we have a wealth of knowledge to give you about what you need to do, but your dog or your cat actually has great instincts and it can do really well on their own. But we always are there for questions if you are, you know, if you have something that you're uncertain about or doesn't seem to be going properly. And we will see you at the 5 week mark as well, to make sure that you have all the information that you need.
I really am in awe of the foster parents. So I'm fostering for the first time right now, and I have a 9-year-old dog that I'm fostering, but I'm in awe of all fosters, especially now that I'm having the experience, but of the fosters who take in these young pups or kittens, it is a lot of work.
It is certainly a lot of work. They are very busy. They're very messy at times, but it is an amazing experience. And it is also great to bring them back for their forever homes and help out the next litter as well, and get a little bit of a rest and a break before you hopefully continue on with the next litter that needs your help.
Thank you, Heather, for coming in for this is part one of a two-parter about programs. I think the key takeaway that we need people to hear from this is that we're here to help. Reach out with our pet pantry, with the PUP program. If you find yourself questioning if you need help, just reach out. I want to thank everyone for listening to today's episode and remind you that we will have a part two on our next episode, where we will talk about the Paws and Support Program and a palliative care program. Don't forget to like, to subscribe, and leave us a 5-star rating. Even better, share this with your family and friends so we can spread the word about the SPCA being more than shelters. Now turn up the love for your pets, and we'll see you next time on the podcast.